great to be here and love the passage that we're going to be in today. So before we get to the passage, is we're going to start with a question and then we're going to end with an invitation. And so if you will put in your hearts while we're talking, then I believe God has got a great invitation for you at the end, okay? But if we can do this first slide here, I don't know who is, there we go. So this is some tree leaves. Unless you know a ton about trees, I'd be surprised if you knew what tree this is. And there's thousands, if not millions, of different types of trees. But today, we're talking about kind of one way to categorize them. And at least from a human perspective, this is a way to categorize, like, is this a good tree? Is this an important tree? And the question that you can categorize trees by is, what does this tree produce? What fruit is there from this tree? And so if we go to the next slide here, this is an orange tree. That's a little easier to guess, probably, you know what kind of tree that is. So obviously in Missouri, orange trees don't do well, but if you could have just a regular, you know, oak tree, or you could have an orange tree that would actually produce oranges here in Missouri, I think we know which one we want in our backyard, right? This idea of, like, we'd love to have something fresh and amazing, delicious, produced for us, right? And that's the goodness of fruit trees, right? Is they produce something amazing for us, something that can sustain us, something that's good and delightful. And so the first kind of hard question for you to face today with the sermon is, think about your life right now. And if we were going to judge you like we just judged this tree, or if you were just going to judge yourself, maybe we should put it in that way. What fruit do you produce? What comes out of you? And is it like a fresh orange, right? Not an orange to get at Price Chopper, not some weird imitation thing that's sat forever to get there. But like something that, like, when you squeeze it, it has a lot of give, because there's so much juice inside of it, right? So think about it. What have you produced in this last week? Have words come out of your mouth that have been, like, juicy and delightful and amazing and actually giving people energy? Or have stuff come out of you that has torn people down, discouraged them, right? I mean, I'm not going to put this on anybody in the room, whether you're an orange tree or you're, like, poison ivy, you know, like, and you're giving something to people that, like, they're just, like, trying to strip off like crazy, right? I won't say that about yourself, but if you're poison ivy in the room, like, you might want to face it, right? You might want to face, like, the thing I do is hurt people around me. The thing I do is say, get away. The thing I do is say, this is mine, and I'll hurt anybody that touches me. Because that's what poison ivy does, right? Poison hangs on other things and tries to take, and it doesn't hurt anybody that touches it. Whereas an orange tree grows on its own, receives this light, and then it produces something that it gives away, right? And the big ask that it has is, take this orange and hope there be more orange trees, right? It just tries to spread that goodness. It's like the only thing it asks in return. So you gotta ask yourself on the front end, the way I'm living, am I producing good fruit? And that prepares us for this passage. And the hope in the passage is that you can become this. We're gonna talk about it, okay? So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going verse by verse through Ephesians, and we're in verse 11 today. Brian English brought the message this last week, though. We're going to refer back to verse 9 here in a second, but verse 11 says, has nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So last week, Brian was talking about how we used to be in darkness, but because of Jesus, we can become children of light. And in verse 9, it tells us, what is a child of light? There's somebody who produces this good fruit, the fruit of life. It says it's goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then we have the other side that we're looking at today. It says have nothing to do with what? The what? Anybody got a loud voice? Fruitless, right? Yeah. The fruitless deeds of darkness. Normally we think about evil or dark things as having a lot of substance to them, right? But another way to look at them is darkness is really the absence of something. It's not really the presence of anything. And when you are not who Jesus has called you to be, the defining factor of you is the absence of what should be there. Right? There's fruit trees, and then there's trees without fruit, right? That's one of the ways to categorize them. And for us, there's people who are displaying the good things that God is growing in them. They have goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then there's other people that those things are absent. There's a hollow or an emptiness or a darkness. And while that sounds kind of hard to understand, if you look in your own heart, I bet you know what it feels like to be far away from God and to feel more emptiness than any sort of description of something being there. Right? And the challenge for us is to have these fruits of the light, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, I mean, you kind of understand that, right? Goodness is an idea of something that, like a fresh orange, it's something that is good for people around it. It's delightful. It gives energy. It gives life. It's good. Righteousness gets this idea of you do the right thing to other people around you, and then you have the right sort of relationships. When you're honest with somebody, and when you're kind to somebody, when you're thoughtful and loving, you wind up oftentimes with a good friendship. Right? Whereas if you're cheating and stealing and destroying, like you wind up with an enemy or somebody that stabs you in the back or whatever, you wind up with a bad, unrighteous relationship, right? It's not right. Because it's things have been done wrong led to not right relationships. So righteousness gets at that right relationship through right action. You do the next right thing to the people around you, suddenly you have a lot of good relationships. It takes two people, but you keep doing the right thing on your side of the fence, eventually you'll find you have some decent neighbors eventually. Okay? So, and then truth simply means you don't have to cover it up. You don't have to spin it. It's honesty, right? It's truth. Okay? So those are the fruits of the light. But here it says it has nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. So nothing to do means when you're around other people, you're going to be around people who are doing things that are fruitless. You're going to be around people maybe living in the same house as you, maybe working in the same place as you, and the things that they do, it doesn't lead to a right relationship with anybody else. It doesn't lead to goodness for anybody. It doesn't lead to truth. It says, have nothing to do with them, instead expose them. It says it's shameful, verse 12, even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. So I don't think this passage is telling us that we need to just be like giant tattletales on the whole world, right? Just make our business about going and pointing out everyone else's flaws. But you know, a very powerful way to expose when people are doing something wrong is to do the right thing in the same environment. Example from one of the small groups that I was in here at Maywood a few years back, one of my friends was talking about they were remodeling a Hy-Vee, him and some other guys in his union, and they could see people walking into the grocery store as they're remodeling this Hy-Vee. And he said every other guy on the work site, when an attractive lady would walk into the grocery store, there'd be comments about it or some sort of conversation about it. And him being in that midst of that and not talking with them about it and not checking this whatever random person walking out, maybe out, it led to these like pokes and prods from the other guys. Like, why? Because if you do the right thing around people who aren't doing the right thing, it makes everybody uncomfortable, actually. You know? It makes everybody, when someone's doing the right thing and no one else does, suddenly everyone feels worse about what they're doing, right? It exposes, like, huh, there's another guy at the construction site who's not doing this. Maybe we shouldn't be doing it. And typically when people think they feel some sort of threat that they should change, it's really common for them to kind of lash out at them. So this guy in my small group, like, he's getting made fun of by the other guys, he's getting persecuted by the other guys, because he's making everybody uncomfortable because he's not participating in what they're doing. So for you, I wonder, like, is there anything, any place you've been this last week where your actions expose that other people should act different, right? Did you get any sort of pushback or any sort of change, any sort of ripple effect in the people around you because you were doing things different? It can even be something as simple as everyone else is mad about someone being a jerk and you take the high road and be kind, even though everyone's mad that the line at Lowe's is taking forever, or whatever it is. If you take the higher road, suddenly you push everyone else around you to think about why are they doing what they're doing. Your actions of doing the right thing, it exposes the darkness in the way other people are acting. So my first tip would not be to go around and try to judgmentally tell everybody else all the ways that they're not living like Jesus, but it would be to do the right thing around everybody that God puts in your path. And you'll see that when you do the right thing around people, it will raise questions. And it will expose what's going on. There are times where your boss at work is cheating somebody and you have to raise, you know, an alarm about that. Or somebody in my small group this year, there was people at his work being harassed in a way that they shouldn't be at work. So he went and told the management about it. And there are times that you need to just directly speak up, like, this thing that's happening is wrong, right? What there's not a time for is to huddle up with your friends in some corner and talk about how bad somebody else is, right? And we've all been guilty of this, myself included. It's easy to find ways to talk about how messed up someone else is who isn't in the room. But here, this verse says it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Even if the other person is a terrible person, why do me and Rixie, just since she's on the same level, why do me and Rixie need to talk about what somebody else in the room has done that's so bad? Typically, there's not a good reason. Typically, that's a shameful activity. Like, what's more helpful is to be in the room with the person who has a problem and talk to them or do the right thing in their presence. We all could grow in this, myself included. So then it says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that's illuminated becomes a light. There in verse 13. There's a real easy way to kill that orange tree or any other plant, and that's just to cover it up from the light, right? If you've ever been, you know, even just the woods right around here, if there's a lot of big trees, everything underneath the big trees does not grow very much at all because it just gets so little real light. But here it's saying everything that gets light shined, when light shines on something, it becomes visible and even has this chance to give light to others. And so if you'll be the type of person who walks around with light inside of you, then you can change the dynamic of the area that you're in. Now, all of this talk about light, doing the right thing, some of you might be in here and be like, Jake, I came to church today because I am a mess. And all this talk about, like, doing the right thing is just making me feel like I've got too far to go, too high a hill to climb. And I talked to you about, we're headed towards this challenge, right? The very first question in the sermon is, what are you producing? But the end verse here has got this challenge for us, okay? So let's read this last verse, verse 14. If we can flip there.
I'm sorry, it's not there.
Okay, it's not there. Sorry. So I'm going to read it to you guys. This is why it is said, and Paul's quoting here, it says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And this is the part that's the hardest for me to understand. Normally when we talk about people being risen from the dead, we talk about Jesus rising people from the dead. We talk about we're a mess on our own, and Jesus has got to come in and basically do everything, and we just take kind of the last baby step and say, like, yes, I'm on board. Here, Paul's talking about all this stuff about light and darkness, and he says, let me quote you something. And he quotes what I believe is actually a psalm, like a Christian like song at the time, but I could be off on that. It says, "Wake up, sleeper." Get this image in your mind of somebody who knows better, but is just sleeping through it, right? Like the fire alarm is going off in the fire station, but the firefighter is just asleep, right? You get kind of this image of somebody who could do something, but they've chosen to sleep instead. Put the earplugs in, and they're just gonna not worry about it. Everybody that's in the worship center right now, everybody that's down in the fellowship hall, everybody that's in the youth chapel, everybody's listening on Facebook, like, there was a good excuse to not be at church today, right? There's enough stuff changing and enough weirdness. Like, you all chose to be here today. This wasn't just like a habit of everything I do every Sunday. It's like, you chose to say, I want to be at church today. Paul is writing this book of Ephesians to a group of Christians who had showed up. But he still has to warn them about, like, don't fall asleep at the wheel. It's very easy to be a Christian and to begin to just cover up the light that Jesus wants to shine through you. To let things that should bear fruit start to wither. So Paul says, wake up! You've been asleep. He says, open up, that there's problems in the world around you. You do not have to walk very far away from this church building to get into some dark things. You probably don't have to go very far in your own house to have some darkness, right? And we're carrying it ourselves sometimes, but like, there's a mess. Every single one of us this week is going to run into areas where there's no fruit, there's nothing good coming out of that relationship or that environment or that company or whatever it is. It's very easy to get comfortable with Jesus has given me enough things, I can take care of myself, and to just be asleep, even as that fire alarm is blaring, to just say, there's no fire in the fire station. I'm just going to sleep. Doesn't matter that some other part of the city is on fire. The reality is, like, Jesus has given the whole mission to us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We're not on our own. But God's not sending any angels to bring salvation to Independence. The Holy Spirit is sent here to empower us to carry the message that Jesus has given for New Life. Like, if we don't do it, if Kairos doesn't do it, if Inglewood across the street, if Revive down the street, if the Christians in Independence don't do it, then nobody does it. If we don't wake up, then no light comes to our city. It's easy to hear it. It's easy to think, like, yeah, that sounds good. It's hard to live it out. This next statement is the really crazy one, this next phrase. It says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So here, strangely, it puts this burden of, like, get out of your sleep, almost as if you've been dead asleep. And once you make the choice to get up and do something, Jesus will make you alive. Jesus will shine on you when you get up. So how do you get up? I've got this last little picture of this girl looking out the window, maybe not. It's okay. So there it is. Okay. So she's got those little eyes like you kind of have in the morning, right? Here's the reality about darkness and light. We all experience this a ton because we have these like blue screen cell phones and stuff, but your eyes are set up to help your whole body fall asleep. And if you were just living outside, in the evening time, all that sunset light and all that darkness, it makes your body want to be asleep. The darkness literally makes you want to sleep. Like your chemistry inside your brain and your blood like changes to like more like now it's time to sleep. And that morning light, God designed us, or he designed the sun, however you want to look at it, God designed it as like a get up. Like it's actually like this natural like want to motivate you to get up. The way the sun and all that light works with our brains. But it's real easy in the modern world to just put up some, I don't remember what they're called, the kind of blinds, or just like block out all the light, put up some like heavy blinds, blackout curtains, there you go. Put up some blackout curtains, sleep in as late as you want, stay up real late, that's how we do it, right? I want everything to work on my schedule. What Jesus is saying is that little girl's just got to go to the window and pull back the curtain. She doesn't have to make the sun. She just has to get out of bed and pull back the curtain. You don't have to make the light. A lot of us are trying so hard to fix our family member, or to fix our friend that keeps relapsing, or to fix our workplace, or whatever it is. And we're trying to make light and make goodness. The reality is, what you have to do is get up out of your complacency, pull back that curtain and say, Jesus, put some light in me. That little girl looking at that light, and now she's ready to face the day, right? She's no longer asleep. For you, wherever you're at today, you cannot make light on your own. You cannot make goodness and righteousness and truth. If you try to fix your family members, you try to fix your neighbors, you try to fix yourself, you're going to fail. But just earlier this week, I was talking to somebody who's been very humble and trying to be obedient to the next right thing that God's put on their path. And even humble with a family member earlier this week. And that friend of mine had that family member say, I want to go to the church today. Out of the blue, right? That family member started taking steps towards God that this person could never orchestrate. And there's a link, a clear link in my mind, if this person starts doing the next right thing, they've been praying for that family member for years and years and years. They've been trying to fix them for years and years and years. If you start doing the right thing in your own life, light starts shining all around you. People around you start changing. You don't have to change other people. You have to wake up. You have to get out of your dead sleep. You have to say, Jesus, I'm opening up the window of my life. I want you to shine in on me. Because if you're shining on me, then I can be a light for other people. You guys have heard all this stuff before. Look out, I'm getting loud. You've heard it all before, but what are you going to do about it? My hope is when we looked at that orange tree, we saw that and thought, man, it could be a lot better. When I saw it, I thought, what am I doing that's fruitless in my life? There's things I can point to, like that doesn't do anything for anybody. But when we get to the end here, we've got this big invitation from Jesus to get out of our dead sleep. To say, I'm not content anymore. I'm looking for Jesus' light. It means getting up and spending time with Jesus tomorrow morning before you see other people. It means getting made fun of by your coworkers because you're doing the next right thing. It means when you feel like, well, I don't need to follow these rules, you know, that whatever sobriety house or whatever other person is putting on you, your parents or whatever, your boss. You think like, okay, it's not about my pride. It's about bearing fruit for Jesus. When we humbly approach our life with Jesus, how do I make the most of what you're doing for me? That's when we're alive. So final thought for you guys today before we close out. You can choose to wake up. You can choose to open the curtain. Jesus promises to be the light. So for you today, I'm going to pray a prayer. And then if you're in the fellowship hall or the youth chapel, they're going to get up. The Sunday school teacher's probably going to close you out. Here's the thought with this prayer, though. I want to pray that Jesus will shine on you once you get up and move that curtain. But I'm going to give a little bit of silence first for you to decide, what do I need to do to get up and move that curtain? Is there a person you need to stop talking to? Is there a habit with the Bible that you need to start? Is there some sort of sin in your life that you have to let go of, or at least ask somebody to help you let go of it? So you decide in that. Now I'm going to pray a blessing over all of us that Jesus will shine on us once we take that first step. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, please show us the curtain to push back. Show us the way to wake up to you. Jesus, I pray for each person in the worship center, in the fellowship hall, in the youth chapel, each person at their home. Jesus, I pray you would shine. You are the light of life, Jesus. We never have to walk in darkness. And I pray as we take a step towards you, you would do all the rest this week. That you would shine in our hearts, that you would shine in the lives of our family members, that you would shine in the lives of our friends and coworkers and neighbors. As we take the step to be close to you, I pray you would do the rest. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.